then there's inventor blood in you. And this country was built on invention and innovation, and we need you.
Navy veteran Christian Corley, founder of YOLOTech.com, shares his veteran inventor success story. Coming up next, a veteran on the move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
This episode is brought to you by Bench Bookkeeping. If you're an entrepreneur, the last thing you want to mess with is bookkeeping. But it is a necessary evil in this world of entrepreneurship. Bench Bookkeeping relieve that huge burden for me and my business because Bench puts bookkeeping on autopilot. To check out Bench and get 1 month free of bookkeeping and take that task off your desk, go to veteranonthemove.com/bench. Hey, we're talking with Navy veteran Christian Corley, founder of YOLO Tech. Christian, before we get to talking about business and entrepreneurship and some of your cool inventions, take us back a little ways and tell us what you did in the Navy.
Sure. So in the Navy, I was an electronics technician. I was aviation fire control, so worked on radar, weapons navigation, that kind of electronic stuff.
Cool. And how long were you in the Navy?
3 years, 7 months, 13 days, 4 hours, 4 minutes, and 4 seconds.
Actually, carry that around.
What happened was, every year the military kind of runs out of money and they start borrowing on the next years up until a certain point, and then they have to make decisions on what to do. So they came out and said, hey, they came to me 4 or 5 months before I got out and said, hey, you either need to sign up for 4 more years now, or we're going to let you out 4 months early, which was a little bit of a surprise. But that's what happened.
Yeah. So you thought you were planning ahead and all of a sudden you're behind.
Yeah. So I had I had a couple loans, a couple little tiny loans, and everything was set to pay off on September the 30th, the day that I got out. But instead, I got out in May, so it was a little bit of a jolt to the system. But I always say it's better to get kicked out of the nest than not.
Right. Huh. Okay. Well, so you kind of got your transition out of the Navy happened a lot sooner than you were expecting. So talk us through some of what was your transition like?
Sure. So, being in the Navy, loved being in the Navy. There were so many good opportunities. And in 1987, I actually did a world cruise on an aircraft carrier working on planes. So all that was awesome. And that was actually, two guys that, I was in the Navy with that were a lot smarter than me. One of them, I noticed he was on the phone one day. This one, we were still on land, but he was on the phone one day and I overheard him talking business. And I said, hey, I heard you selling stocks or something. And he said, yeah. And I said, would you mind sharing? And the one thing I always found about people in the service is they'll just take the shirt off their back and do whatever you need. So it was really cool. He sat down and explained how you buy low, sell high, and started talking about stocks that, at a, 19, 20 years old, I just wasn't familiar with all that. So that was extremely helpful.
Hmm. And then, so you're getting out of the Navy in May versus September. You're looking for a job and what was that all like for you? And what was that experience all about?
Yeah. So, the day I got out, I had another guy that was in a similar situation and he had some relatives that were down in Southern California. So we had this big plan. We were going to go to work for Boeing. But to get into Boeing, coming straight out of the Navy, even in electronics, was very difficult because they had certain education requirements. So he had done some research and found out that if you become a janitor, literally this was the plan, we were going to become janitors at Boeing. And then when they post a new job, they're mandatory that they have to hire from within first and then go outside. So that was our whole plan. But on the way, a funny thing happened on the way to LA is we went up to San Francisco for the weekend. And when I went up there, a cousin of his owned a little design studio, advertising. And so we hung out with him the weekend and I was very curious about what he was doing. and he was using Macintosh computers when they had Apple, when they had first come out. Nobody knew about them. This is 1987. And so he started showing us how he does graphic design and makes ads and then does some photography and then puts them together to present to Pacific Bell for Yellow Page ads and other types of ads. But went up there for the weekend, and the computer had always fascinated me. When I was a kid, they always said the computer is going to rule the world. And the first time I ever touched one, they said, okay, type C colon backslash. And then there's all this code. And I thought, well, that's not going to rule the world. But when his cousin took us to his Macintosh, his Apple Macintosh, and started laying out the, and it was all graphic interface. So it was a mouse and dragging and dropping and stuff. I said, now that's going to rule the world.
Yeah.
And got me really interested. So I went into partnership with him, and we started doing an advertising agency.
And you never made it to Southern California.
Never made it to the, never became a janitor.
That's hilarious.
Now I say I own my own business now, and I cannot wait to become the janitor again.
All the headaches, right? Yeah. Yeah. I've known guys who have pulled that off, like with airlines, like FedEx being one of them. They have a internal hire thing, and actually Delta does these days too. I think most of them probably do, but I know guys that have intentionally gone and gotten a job doing something
entry
else,
level
just
job
for that reason. Yeah,
you bet.
Just for that reason. So it definitely works. You know, more power to you.
Yep.
Okay, so walk us through what happened with the design company and get us up to where you're at and what you're doing now.
Sure. And I wanted to just take one step back and just say that one of the things that was really helpful, the transition when you're preparing to leave the Navy, once I had told them that I wasn't signing up for another 4 years, then they had transition training. And at the time, it was pretty good. I imagine it's even better now. But that was really helpful to put some of the dots together. And it got me excited because it was a little scary for a little while there being ejected on a date that I didn't even plan on. But I can tell you that some of that training just put me at ease. So that was pretty cool.
You know, a lot of people complain about that training because it's really kind of a one size fits all, you know, because everybody's got to go through the same stuff. But they've got a lot of special, if you're willing to do extra days and sign up for extra courses, which a lot of guys don't, you know, over and above the mandatory stuff. It's like everything else. You really get out of it what you put into it.
Totally agree with that.
If you just sit there kind of half asleep every day in class, then you're not getting much out of it. But I always say all those types of
conventions or any kind of classes like that, there's always a few nuggets of gold in there. And if you have the patience to let some of the other stuff that you already know go by, you'll find those nuggets. And that's the real value of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how many times you can go to a whole 3-day conference, and if you just have one or two golden nuggets, then
bingo.
Over time, those are going to add up, and it's going to be well worth it. So,
absolutely.
So where did entrepreneurship come into all this and being an inventor?
I'll tell you, again, being kicked out of the nest. So the person, his cousin Tim, that had this little design studio, he says, you know, I'd love to have, I said, I really want to dive into this. And he said, well, just so you know, I really can't pay you. He says, I make money when we go to sell an ad. If an ad's going to cost $1,500, then I get half down and then half when we deliver the ad. He said, so I really can't pay you an hourly rate, but what are your expenses? And at the time, literally, I only had a small car payment and insurance. He said, I'll tell you what, how about if I cover that cost and you can stay? He had a big 5-bedroom place. He said, you can have a bedroom, you can eat out of the refrigerator, you know, just to get going. And then maybe in a couple months, you can go and start doing sales and design or whatever you want, whatever you're passionate about. And I said, okay, that seems good. So about 2 months later, I get a phone call from Ford Motor Credit saying, hey, you haven't made a payment for 2 months. So I go back to Tim. I said, hey, what happened? You were going to pay this thing. I totally forgot about it. I said, well, you know, give me $700 so I can make those payments. He said, yeah, I don't have it. So literally the next morning, I had learned so much because I'm kind of a sponge, and I had learned so much. The next morning I woke up, I went to a printing company. I made business cards, created a name called First Impression Design, and I became his competitor the next day.
Wow.
So about 5 months later after that, and things were rocking. So it was one of those feast or famine deals when I would go sell a couple. And when I would close a deal on something, then I would have this big stack of cash. I'd go out to eat steak and then when we delivered the ad, I would eat another steak, and in between I'd eat Top Ramen for about 3 meals a day.
Feast and famine. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, my brother lived in, Philadelphia, and he was struggling, and I really hadn't spent much time with him since I'd been out of the Navy. So, I decided I was going to move to Philadelphia. Well, there was, the Tim was, we were running into each other because we're still selling the same kind of ads and selling to the same people. So we kind of run into each other. And so then he heard that I might be leaving town, and he called me, said, "Hey, you know, I always felt bad for not paying you for the car payments and stuff." He said, "I heard you might be leaving town." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I really want you to leave sooner than later." And I said, "Really? Like, how much money would you give me to make that happen?" He said, "How about $5,000? And I said, "Okay." So he gave me $5,000 and I moved to Philadelphia.
Wow. Here's $5,000. Get out.
I was too much competition. That's why you should always take care of your employees, because they could be your competition. So you want to take care of people.
Yeah. All right. So you suddenly found yourself working for one guy, or basically a startup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went out on your own just out of necessity. And so now you're in the entrepreneurial game.
I was kind of a mix to begin with. One of the things I always say, when you're ready to cut your teeth on entrepreneurism, if you can keep your day job for at least a while until you build up some revenues coming in, and then jump off. So what happened here was, I went out to Philadelphia. My brother was there was a direct mail firm that he was a floor manager for a big direct mail firm. So I came in and started working for that company. And then on the side, we started building the advertising agency out there. So I just basically took the same concept and to Philadelphia, and we started doing that. Did that for about 6 months until the revenues from the advertising agency really picked up, and then left the day job and started full-time entrepreneur.
I've slept on the dirt, the green yoga mat, and military cots many a night during my days in the military, and now I sleep in lots of hotel rooms when I'm on the road, so I know a good mattress when I see one. A few weeks ago, we got our new ghost bed, and let me tell you, it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. My wife Kelly loves it too, and we don't ever see ourselves going back to a traditional mattress. So what separates Ghost Bed from the others is that they're founded on the principle of delivering a bigger, better, and more comfortable mattress at a lower cost. It's actually significantly lower than your typical mattress. Ghost Bed has 3 mattresses, all designed to help you sleep better, and they offer a 101-night hassle-free return and amazing customer service. They've got over 20,000 positive reviews, so you need to check them out at veteranonthemove.com/ghostbed, where you can save a couple $100 off a mattress, which is already lower than if you go to a mattress shop. So be sure to check them out. Again, that's at veteranonthemove.com/ghostbed. Now we're back talking with Navy veteran Christian Corley, founder of YOLOTech.com. So Christian, at some point, you took an interest in inventing products. How did you get to that point?
Absolutely. Well, really, all my whole life, I think what I tell people is that everybody's an inventor. Up until a certain point in your life, and people tell you they don't want to hear those ideas, but everybody invents stuff. There's not one of us that has never watched a TV commercial and said, "You know what? I think I had that idea a couple years ago." Well, one morning I was sitting at my son's early morning football game, and I was freezing, and the people all around me said that they were freezing. It was much colder out there than what we had thought. And I thought that little bag that carries the folding chair, I thought, instead of having that little bag, what if there was a blanket that wrapped around it, that then you would never forget your blanket. You'd be out there, it carries your chair, and it's a blanket. So that's what I did. We created a thing called Toasty Tote. Did Kickstarter on that, was funded on Kickstarter, and that was really where I took the idea and made it happen.
So you actually went from idea to Kickstarter to getting some money, and then you went through the manufacturing process and put it out there and marketed it. And so, you know, it was really a long time coming. You'd been in marketing and advertising and printing, you know, after getting out of the Navy, and then you come up with this product idea, and a lot of the things that you learned in the Navy and right afterwards fed right into that in order to get a product out there. So what kind of good lessons do you have from inventing the Toasty Tote? I do want to tell this story real quick, though. Years ago, I was down at a 1 Million Cups presentation, and there was this gal up there pitching the Toasty Tote. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I got a card and all that, you know. And then, gosh, like, it's been at least 4 years or so later, and we figured out we actually live next to each other. And we met at the Inventor Center of Kansas City group, that group of inventors here in the Kansas City area, which there's probably one in a town near you. I would highly recommend looking them up, whatever they may call themselves. And so I'm surrounded by all these inventors. I mean, guys are actually inventing products, and get to talking to you, and you bring up the Toasty Tote. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought this other gal invented the Toasty Tote. Like, no, that's who I hired to promote it, because you needed kind of like a mom to, it's kind of like a mom product almost. And I'm like, holy cow, I had no idea you were the one that invented the Toasty Tote. So walk us through real quick, how you got it out on the market and where you're at now. And then ultimately, I guess from there, you moved into some other products too.
Absolutely. So everybody needs a Connie in their life, and that's Connie Robertson, who you met. And Connie's a neighbor, and she can make anything out of fabric. She's always doing all kinds of craft shows but she can just take any piece of fabric and make it into whatever you wanted. So when I had this idea, I talked to my wife, who does a little bit of sewing, and she said, you need Connie. I'm not going to be able to make this. So I went to Connie. She put a first prototype together. And the one lesson from there is just get started. Everybody thinks that they need to get more polished, or they need to do something better. But what I tell people is you won't get to Edison didn't get to light bulb number 1001 that actually worked. He had to start with number one and number two and number three and all the other failures along the way to get to the light bulb. So just get started right away is what I would tell people. Yeah. So we did that basically about four versions into it. We started looking for, we did a little video, started looking for some manufacturing, got some pricing, and then was able to put all that up on Kickstarter. At the time, a big Kickstarter campaign was maybe $1,000 to $2,000. So we were looking for $14,500, and we were funded at $15,500. So we got the first order in, and then got the backers with their product first. And that's the biggest thing, is getting that into the hands of people that use it, so they can tell you the good, bad, and the ugly, and make it more polished. We were actually blessed with that product. We've never made a change since it first came out. And once actually QVC picked us up, and then it sold out. And then I've licensed that to a local company at that moment. My dad had called me, a totally different product. And he called me, he was out on his boat and his cell phone was dying. And I said, what can I help you with, Dad? And he said, well, there's a thing called a navigation light on a boat. And it's just like in my car, I have a USB car charger. Can't you take this 12 volt on this boat and turn it into USB? And so I went from a sports blanket to making a cell phone charger on a boat. Then I showed that to one of the pro anglers who was on what's called the Elite Series, just one of the top, kind of like in the NFL, like an NFL level in fishing, and showed it to him and said, do you think this power stick, this powered cell phone mount, do you think we can sell a bunch of these? And he said, actually, if you can make this hold my GoPro camera, so if you can plug into that same nav light on that boat and hold my GoPro camera so it will go down the water at 70 miles an hour and I can record everything and not have to worry about the battery dying, he said, I think we can sell a lot of those. So that's what we did.
And what's that called? What's the GoPro?
That's called Power Stick 53. So just like anybody that's listening to this, in your car, you have a USB car charger. So you plug into the 12 volt cigarette lighter basically and turn it into USB to charge your cell phone or whatever mm-hmm. else. And that's exactly what Power Stick does on your boat. It plugs in the nav light, turns 12 volt into USB, and then you can power your GoPro or other action camera. We also have a light that goes on top of that, or we have people using cell phones doing Facebook Live and all that stuff right off their cell phone out on the water so that they get video of them catching the biggest fish of their life. Or one of the coolest moments is when I have a dad call and say his little girl, his little boy out on the boat for the very first time and caught their very first fish. And all those moments are recorded on video because of our product. That's pretty special.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So I want to go back a little bit to the Toasty Tote, the blanket,
okay.
the sports blanket thing real quick.
Sure.
Why did you decide to just license it out and then step away from it? Just kind of cashed in, I guess, right?
Sure, you bet. So, you know, I think it's all about kind of your passion. And at that moment, when you create a product, when you create this product, you're going to come to a fork in the road. And at one point, you're going to either need to build the whole company. You'll have to have employees, marketing, social media, all the stuff that it takes to build a business. And I would say that most of the time, probably 98% of the time, if you create a product or invent something, that instead of going that route and building the entire business yourself, you could hook up with someone that's already in that business and then license the idea to them. And then they take it to market and then they just send you a check every month. I think most people kind of like that process because there's a lot less risk, and building a business, there's a lot to be learned there.
Yeah. You know, I heard somebody explain that there's not many Mark Zuckerbergs or Steve mm-hmm. Jobs out there where they can take a product or a service from initial concept all the way through and become the IPO and become a public company and then mm-hmm. take it all the way into retirement. You know, those people are very rare
yep.
because they're very versatile. They've been able to go across the spectrum of business. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, like Chris Ducker was talking about, like he hates to be a manager. He doesn't want to manage things that already exist and are in place. He likes to create them up to the point and get them working as he plugs in systems and automation and gets everything going. And then as soon as it's going successful, then he wants to step away from it and go back and start over again. You know, and so you kind of have to define the kind of individual you are. Like at the inventors meeting, been to a couple of them now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people in there that have invented actual products. But one mm-hmm. thing I noticed about most of them, some of them got a lot of different products. Some of them mm-hmm. never even tried to sell them because that's not what they do. They invent yeah. products and they're like, man, I'd really like somebody to take this somewhere for me, you know. And
right.
so it's interesting, you know, I'm a little bit of an inventor, but I'm also, you know, my wife and I are Amazon sellers. So we're always looking for products and I know how to do that. So it was really interesting for me to see these people that actually even come up with really cool products, but haven't taken it beyond that. You know, they haven't even tried to make money with it. So when you talked about, you know, at some point I get up, if I can sell it and cash in, it's not a bad way to go. So as you go through business, you might find yourself, you know, I'm the creator and I want to get it to a certain level and then cash out and step away and go back and start over. Or maybe you're that person that wants to come in after it's already up and running and manage it and take it to the next level. So as you get out of the military and get into this entrepreneurial game, you may find you do real well with one or two of those phases and you don't do well with the other ones. And you got to recognize that. And that's okay. You know,
absolutely.
You don't have to be the guy that takes it all away. So I just wanted to emphasize that. Now with...
Yeah, there's a lot of cogs in the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say one of the great books is called Strength Finder. Mm-hmm. And that is a great book because it really tells you we all have strengths and weaknesses. And I think a lot of times in our life, we get told you need to work on your weaknesses. Well, your weaknesses are your weaknesses for a reason and your strengths are strengths for a reason. So rather than Like if you're really good at graphic design and I'm really good with social media, then why would you be doing social media and why would I be doing graphic design? You focus on your strengths because you can get better and better because that's your passion. And your weaknesses, you bring people in your life as resources in to help you with those things. And Inventor Centers all over the country, and you can actually go to Inventor Groups of America that has a list of, I think now, 125 inventor groups all over the country, and get connected with like-minded people because they're there to help.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right, so let's go back to the GoPro mount and, yep, and power source for your boat. So where are you at? Where are you at in the process with that?
Well, my process that kind of developed over the last couple of years is invent a product, do a little bit of protection on it. So I usually file what's called a provisional patent, and that just kind of holds you for a minute, for a year, and while you're playing with that idea to see if there's any traction on it. So when we first created that prototype of the power stick, I called my daddy and said, "Hey, where's the most amount of bass fishermen?" And because I want to show them this product and see if that's something that they would spend money on. And he said, well, a week later was the Bassmaster Classic, which, if you don't know anything about fishing, yeah, it's the Super Bowl of bass fishing. So we literally called there. They had a booth available. So spent about $4,000 between the booth, the airplane, the hotels, and everything. We went there, set up our booth, just had our prototypes just to see if people were interested, and it kind of blew up. We had Bill Dance, Jimmy Houston, all the Hall of Fame guys, Kevin Van Dam, one of the top guys ever in bass fishing, who's won more money than, I think he's over $8 million or $7 million in earnings from bass fishing, and they all just loved it. And so we just went there to see if people were interested, and we got a big resounding yes.
That's awesome. Were you actually like able to take pre-orders or anything like that?
Yeah. So the first person by the booth says, "Here's my credit card. I want to buy one. How much are they?" And we said, we literally said, "Hell, we don't know." And
how much would you be?
And
willing
I said,
pay?
How about 169? He said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I can't take your credit card today. We didn't even have our website up." So literally, the show ends at 7 p.m. And I go back to the hotel and literally from 7 to midnight, built a website, put credit card processing. The wow. next morning, the guy stopped back and we took his credit card and literally that was $169. And it was a year and 4 months later that we actually delivered that stick to him. Oh. And actually along the way, every 4 or 5 months, I'd call him and say, "Hey, I just want you." And we had about 250, 300 pre-orders. Awesome. And I would call that guy every now and then and say, "Are you sure it's okay? We're holding on to your money." And anyone who's done Kickstarter knows that that's kind of the deal. You put up your money, they develop, and then they come back. And then it's like mm-hmm. Christmas when it arrives. So he actually told me, "Hey, bud, you don't need to call me anymore. I'm in." And I'm like, wow, what a cool thing, you know?
That's awesome. But you know, the fact that you called him a couple times, you probably just totally put him at ease because he's like, well, if he's calling me, you know, he's not taking my money, but that's cool. So you had another experience, I think, after it had been out on the market for a while where I forget who it was, some bass fisherman or big fish guy figured out who you were and he grabbed you and like took you over and said, "I need this."
Oh yeah. So that was Bill Dance. And he said, wow. And he's literally a Hall of Fame guy and, yeah. Just an amazing guy that not only the bass world, a lot in saltwater now, but he said to me, "Hey, I need an 8-foot monopod that we can stick down in the saltwater, and the ocean currents are very strong." And he said, "We need something that's really stiff and that will hold that so that we can get some really cool underwater shots. Can you do that?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And the answer really was, "Heck if I know. But if Bill Dance asks you to do something, then you do that."
Right. No kidding.
So it's about 4 months later at ICAST 1 year, which is a huge retail show. Bill was there and we presented him what we call Old Salty, and which ends up turning into another product called the Boom. But because we're just always listening to people. But when we presented it to Bill and he actually used the old Salty to videotape all the Goliath groupers. Now in Brent and Johnny Morris with Bass Pro Shop has a huge living museum, if you want to call it that, called Wonders of Wildlife in Springfield, Missouri. And Johnny has a, you know, as most billionaires probably do, have a, has a place in Florida. And so he was down there with Bill Dance catching three Goliath groupers, and all that was filmed on our products.
Dang, that's awesome. Yeah, what, cool. What a great plug for your product, you know, like a, get a testimony from him and stuff too, you know?
Absolutely.
Wow. So, yeah, we're getting close to the end of our time. I mean, you actually developed a couple really successful products and took them to market. And I mean, you know, I'm sure that feels awesome. So if you're talking to the veteran or the military spouse out there that's looking to get into inventing or product development, what kind of advice would you have for them?
First rule is start today. Because, you know, if you're even thinking about inventing, ever have ideas, ever scratch something down, then there's inventor blood in you. And this country was built on invention and innovation. And we need you. So jump in right now. Find an inventor group. Find some other resources. And by the way, I'll just make a quick side note. The 800 numbers that you see on TV that say call and give us $10,000 and we'll help you, I would probably shy away from those, because we've got a lot of inventors that have not gotten the value out of that. So the first thing is find an inventor group that's a nonprofit that will wrap their arms around you and help you in a way. Just like my products, I had, I think when I counted it, it was 21 people that had some part in helping me with packaging, metal prototyping, 3D printing, all this stuff I got, and basically paid no money, except for sometimes there would be services like my metal prototyper, I'd pay him time and materials, but find some local resources to really give you that knowledge base.
Well, that's awesome.
But start today.
Yeah. Okay, so with your GoPro stuff, your company is Yolo Tech. So how do we, if we're interested in your products, how do we find you?
Certainly. We're on the internet. So it's yolotech.com. That's Y-O-L-O. You only live once. That's what YOLO means, is you only live once. So Y-O-L-O-T-E-K.com.
All right, Christian. Well, I appreciate you being here and sharing your veteran entrepreneurial success story. It's awesome. We look forward to seeing your future success. I'll send you an invite to the Veteran on the Move Facebook group. And if you want to get in there and chat with Christian about product development or anything like that, if you got any questions for him, you can find him in there too. So thanks for being here, and we look forward to your future success.
You bet. Thanks to everybody out there listening for all your service. You protect this country every single day and allow us to do fun and crazy things. So thank you very much.
All right. We're Oscar Mike. As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review in iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.